Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
The station, Radio Netherlands, the programme Media Network.
Hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Don't miss a minute.
Hello, in fact, we're here for 30 minutes, so stay with us. We start with an update to an item we carried a few months back. Yesterday, leaders of the feuding Yugoslav republics of Serbia and Croatia met for the first time since bloody clashes plunged part of the country into virtual anarchy. With the current unrest in Yugoslavia, broadcasting in that country is firmly under the control of the Serbian majority. There are calls amongst Croatians, though, who form the second largest group in the country, that they should break away and form an independent republic, as they did in the 9th century. Although Serbs and Croats speak virtually the same language, many parts of their culture are very different, especially religion. Serbs generally adhere to the Eastern Orthodox Church, whilst the Croats are Roman Catholic. That leads to confusion. Many world newspapers recently published pictures of Serbs with arms up showing three fingers, and the caption below said the people were celebrating a victory. In fact, that's the sign of the Serbian Orthodox Church. There are many Croatian communities outside Yugoslavia, and one of the most active in terms of supporting an independent Croatia is in southern Ontario, Canada. Dr. Josip Gamelin is a medical doctor who devotes most of his spare time to making radio programmes. He's aired them on a local medium-wave station near Toronto for a long time, and then around 2.5 years ago, hit upon the idea of beaming programmes directly to Croatia on shortwave. Radio Libertas was the name he coined, with a daily 60 minutes of airtime hired on the religious station WHRI in South Bend, Indiana, USA. Dr. Gamelin explained to me that getting airtime was difficult because of their political motives.
The main problem why we didn't start it earlier was that it's very hard to get permits from these stations to broadcast because we were considered as a kind of clandestine organizations because we were fighting for the change of regime in Yugoslavia, and this was not well looked upon by any established states which usually control a radio broadcast, so at least you have to get some benevolent nod from the government to get such programs in the air. So we had contacts in Italy, and there is a small station, only 20 kilowatts, but as it's very near, the reception would be excellent, and we almost had agreement on paper. But then the owner decided not to take us because he, I believe, rightly perceived that the Italian government is still for the unity of Yugoslavia, and so he decided better to stay away from us.
I see. So you hired airtime on WHRI, and that's been running since 88, is that right?
Yeah, since September 88.
Now, how do you know you're getting through?
Because we monitor it. We get, I have thousands of letters of listeners all around the world. We get also letters from some regions where we know that we are not regularly heard, but we got it from radio amateurs from places like Japan, China, even Australia, and practically every corner of the world. But we have contact daily with our reporters in Croatia, and when they send their reports, they always give the mark about the quality of the reception.
And the programs are only in Croatian, is that right? I mean, you're broadcasting to that community.
Actually, in the beginning, it was mostly in Croatian because Croatians were so hungry to get as much news as they could get. But we have realized that it's important for us also to reach some Croatians which don't know Croatians, and there are a lot of them in North America. Off and on, we also introduce programs in Italian, Portuguese, and Spanish beside English. And now we plan also to give every day a few minutes in German and French.
Currently, the radio station broadcasts Monday to Friday at 16 hours UTC on 9465 and 13760 kHz. And at the weekends at 21 hours UTC on 17830 and 13760 kHz. Radio Libertas is not a large organisation. Apart from members of Dr. Gamelin's family, the station employs one full-time employee. Radio Libertas has three regular correspondents in Croatia itself, and they also monitor all international broadcasters with transmissions in Serbo-Croat. Presumably, then, they hope that Yugoslavia will break up as soon as possible.
I believe that this is something that is going to happen regardless of who wants it or not, because Yugoslavia proved to be just impossible, and it has brought enormous tragedies, not only to Croatians, to everybody, including even Serbs.
But I believe there are about, 2 million Croatians around the world living outside Yugoslavia. I mean, how many of those actually care about what's going on back home?
From these 2 million, probably the fresh diaspora, which is about 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 in the New World and 700,000 in Europe, they care a lot.
Actually, since the frequency changes last Sunday, reception of Radio Libertas is probably better in North America than it is here in Northern Europe because of interference from other stations. Of course, we're well outside the target area of Yugoslavia. But if you do hear them, the address is Radio Libertas, 1174 Clarkson Road North, Mississauga, Ontario, L5J, 2W2 in Canada. Now to Radio Netherlands answer line.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Doug Hunsinger calling from Silver Spring, Maryland, USA. And I noted a new frequency for Radio for Peace International broadcasting in AM on 15030 kilohertz. This was first noted UTC Saturday morning at about 0225. This program is parallel all the other audible frequencies, but this is a new one for them. I haven't heard them here before.
Indeed it is, Doug, and that observation is echoed by Julius Hammonds here in Holland.
I tuned in just after midnight UTC, and I listened past 01:30 UTC, and I heard a clear identification. So, according to my information, that's a new frequency for Radio for Peace International from Costa Rica. The new frequency is, once again, 15030.
Well, thanks for the call. We listened last night to that channel at 2248 UTC, and there was a fair signal, bearing in mind the 20-kilowatt transmitter and an antenna mast of 25 metres high. Radio for Peace International tell us that a new tower, 45 metres high, is currently under construction, and the high-gain cubicle quad antenna is being tuned for 15030 and 13630 kilohertz. 7375 kilohertz is also active at the moment in upper sideband. This past Sunday, later than planned, the media programme Austrian Shortwave Panorama returned to the airwaves after a short hiatus related to the Gulf crisis. Producer David Hermges announced that the show is now being beamed to slightly different targets and thanked people for their response.
Thank you, one and all. And with immediate effect, this programme, Austrian Shortwave Panorama, can be heard every Sunday from Radio Austria International. The target areas, times and frequencies are as follows. For Australasia, at 10:30 UTC, on 15.450 and 21.490 megahertz. For Europe, Asia and North America, at 11:30 UTC, on 6.155, 13.730, 15.430 and 21.490 megahertz. And for Europe, Africa and Asia, at 14:30 UTC, on 6.155, 11.780, 13.730 and 21.490 megahertz.
David Hermges of Austrian Shortwave Panorama. There's one other item that has no doubt struck many shortwave listeners this past week. Because the USSR has not introduced summertime, many of the relays of Soviet regional stations have stayed at the same time with respect to UTC instead of moving back 1 hour to compensate for summertime in Europe. That means that stations like Radio Vilnius can only really be heard at 23 hours UTC on 11860 kHz, which means 1 o'clock in the morning here in Europe. Radio Vilnius has also found a corporate sponsor.
This broadcast is sponsored in part by Wilbara, a joint Lithuanian-German venture with a network of hard currency shops throughout Lithuania and the Soviet Union, as well as a trading mission based in Moscow. And there we end our program today. From all the staff at Radio Vilnius, it's Happy Easter to you all.
Amazing stuff. Peter Bund of AusDX in Australia reports hearing a station back on the air after a very long absence, namely the government station ELBC from Monrovia, Liberia.
Yes, we're hearing ELBC back on the air from Monrovia via a mobile transmitter installed by the West African Peacekeeping Force, ECOWAS. And we're hearing it on 7275 kHz from Sinon at 0650 UTC, and has English news at 07 hours and local language news at about 0715.
So that was 7275 kHz with English news at 07 hours UTC. What's the signal like?
The signal is very weak, just threshold level really, but it's audible to about 0740 UTC here in Melbourne.
Now, as far as the religious station ELWA is concerned, the Sudan Interior Mission, which runs that station, says that they hope to return to that country soon once the situation is stabilised. And one of their first priorities will be to start an FM service for the capital, Monrovia. More on that when we have it. Now to a not-too-serious call from London.
This is Paul Balster in Wembley, England. I definitely do want this call considered for use on the air. It's an appeal to Glenn Hauser, presenter of World of Rodeo. And if he's listening, as I know he usually does, to Media Network, I'm appealing to him to drop the use of his new phrase of mega houses completely and to revert to the use of kilohertz.
Now, Monday was April Fool's Day, and I'm sure that Glenn Hauser, who hosts the popular World of Radio programme, broadcast by several stations, wasn't being too serious in suggesting that instead of honouring people of the past, like Hertz, we should start using contemporary units of frequency, like the Mega Hauser. He even offered a formula to make all the conversions. If he was being serious, then watch out for all Radio Netherlands wavelengths to be converted into feet in inches, and frequencies in gigamires, in honour of one of our producers in the English service, Pete Myers. He's joining me now with a special announcement. Pete.
Giga Myers. No, I'm not too sure I'd like to be referred to like that, you know, every hour on every radio station. Giga Pete, maybe. But anyway, let's move now, Jonathan, to a piece of very good news. As from this coming Monday, April the 8th, we're expanding our English service to the Pacific. The 0730 UTC transmission remains unchanged, using both 9630 and 9715 kHz. An hour later, the transmission at 0830 UTC will be extended to a full 55-minute transmission on the new frequency of 9630 kHz. So, we'll broadcast the daily feature program, not just news and newsline as we do at the moment. The transmission will also go out on Sundays. There's another change, too. For listeners in Australia, the 10.30 UTC broadcast moves back 1 hour to 0930 UTC on 11895 kHz in the 25-metre band. The existing 10.30 UTC broadcast in English on 11890 kHz will carry our Dutch service instead. Now, all of this starts as from next Monday. If you are in contact with a shortwave listener magazine in the region, then please help us to pass on the good news. If you missed the details just then, well, listen to any of the Pacific transmissions over the next few days, and we'll give you the details again.
The Radio Netherlands Answer Line. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Call 31 for Holland, 35 for Hilversum, then 724-222.
And that line's open now. Arthur Cushion from Invercargill, New Zealand, is next in line, And it seems that Radio Australia is currently dismantling some antennas so that direct broadcasts to Europe really will be a thing of the past.
News from Australia is that the refurbishing of the transmitter site in aerials at Shepparton is underway, but Telecom Australia feels that the aerial system beamed to Europe and the New Zealand area is not necessary. That's the beam of 118 degrees, and that could be the ending of Radio Australia's transmission in that direction. They're concentrating, of course, at the moment on Asia and broadcast to the Pacific. Radio for the Print Handicapped and 2RPH Sydney is now using 1539 kHz, replacing 1629. 4RPH Brisbane, which is using 1296 kHz, has a call change to 4WM, William Mary, 4WM, and 5RPH Adelaide is now using 1197 kHz. The Australian Government's parliamentary relay, heard about 1000 UTC, is gradually increasing as the network takes shape. 1458, we have 2PB, that's in Newcastle. On 1539, 5PB Adelaide. And on 1593, 3PB Melbourne. And these transmitters are carrying a new network from Canberra of the Australian Parliament. From Guam, and KSDA is now operating 24 hours a day at the weekends. Their English transmission is now midnight, and that's on 15610 kHz. The next broadcast is at 0200, and that transmission is on 13720, Saturdays and Sundays only. 1600, they're broadcasting on 11980. At 1700, they're back on 13720, Saturdays and Sundays only. And the final English broadcast from KSDA is at 2300, and that's on 15610 kHz. New Caledonia, we mentioned last month that the disappearance of the medium wave frequency 666 kHz from Noumea. Listening early in the morning, around 1600 UTC, we are hearing Noumea back on 666 medium wave, and we presume that the FM coverage in New Caledonia is not sufficient, and they're back again using a medium wave signal as well. Here in New Zealand, Radio New Zealand International has carried out a series of tests. 13735, 13740, 13785 and 15120 kHz have been tested. 15120 has been put into service and it replaces 15130 for the period 1800 to 2200 UTC. In May, 15120 is planned to be taken out and replaced by 13785. Taiwan. And the Voice of Asia broadcasting from Taiwan has been heard on the channel of 7445, 7445 kHz, and the English broadcast is 1100 to 1200 UTC. And here's part of the opening announcement of the Voice of Asia broadcasting from Taiwan.
Program for the Voice of Asia, which can be heard every day from 1100 to 1200 UTC on 5570450.
And that was the Voice of Asia, the recording made at 1100 UTC when they commence an English broadcast, and the frequency is 7445 kHz. Now to Brazil and Radio Braz, carrying the programs of Radio Beijing. This transmission is in Spanish. It's on the air from 0300 to 0355, and the frequencies of 11840 and 15445 kHz are being used. United States, KVOH, the Voice of Hope, is using a new frequency. This is 9785 on the air 0400 to 0800 UTC, broadcasting in English. They're on 17775, and that's from 1400 to 0130 UTC. It's all in Spanish, except for the last 30 minutes. Czechoslovakia, Prague has reduced its use of frequencies to the Pacific area and is now only using two channels for English, 0730 to 0800. That's 17840 and 21705 kHz.
Thank you, Arthur, for those tips. Now to a mystery solved in the world of television. Have a listen.
This is CNN.
Satellite dish owners in Latin America have noticed that in the middle of February, the signal of CNN, cable news network, started to be scrambled for the first time. In order to watch the network now in Latin America, a viewer has to either subscribe to his local cable network, if it's carrying CNN, or purchase a descrambling device from CNN's Rio de Janeiro office, and that costs over $1,000. Jeff White's been looking into this situation from his base in Miami, Florida. Jeff's on the line now. So why did CNN start scrambling over there in Latin America?
We put that question to Peter Vesey, director of CNN International in Atlanta, Georgia, and one of the primary reasons, he said, was the fact that CNN was being pirated so much in Latin America.
Basically, that has been a problem. It's a problem, I think, all over the world in the sense that many people can see our signal and are getting it without paying us for it. But I think the main problem in the Latin American region is that many companies who could and should be able to pay for this kind of service didn't feel obligated to do so as long as the signal was unscrambled. You know, ideally, from our perspective, those who are big companies and are using the signal should pay for it without the incentive of scrambling. But we'll see. It's an experiment. We will see how it comes out. I'm led to believe that it will be reevaluated.
But at the same time CNN started scrambling in Latin America, it switched the program service that it sends to the region via the Morelos and Panamsat satellites. Now, instead of receiving the domestic U.S. service, Latin American subscribers are getting CNN International.
Now, is this the same CNN International that we see over here in Europe?
For the most part, yes, but with some exceptions. For example, there are two daily half-hour newscasts in Spanish called Telemundo CNN.
Desafortunadamente, son parte de una guerra. En Arabia Saudita, Lian Meléndez, Telemundo CNN.
Y mientras tanto, los aliados continuaron sus ataques incesantes contra...
And in the near future, Vesey says there may be even more Spanish language programming on CNN International's Latin American feeds.
We are considering an experimental approach to increasing the amount of Spanish language programming we have going down on this feed to Central and South America, perhaps in the morning and noontime hours, and maybe as early as next year.
But all of this regional programming still originates at CNN headquarters in Atlanta, is that right?
Yes, although that may be changing in the near future because Vesey says CNN International wants to have more regional presence in all parts of the world.
That is to have production centers in the various regions of the world, the broad regions at least, that we are improving our coverage and programming for. For example, we're hopefully going to be co-anchoring some of these additional news programs that I mentioned out of London and Tokyo in the coming months. And we would look forward very much in the coming year or so to create a similar regional presence in the Central South American region.
We should note, Jonathan, that at the same time CNN's signal switched from the domestic service to the international in Latin America, it also did so on the feeds to Asia and the Pacific.
Talking of Asia, how widely is CNN seen in China right now? Because I know that the Chinese rebroadcasts of CNN ended as a result of the network's coverage of Tiananmen.
Well, not many people are able to see CNN in China because, as you mentioned, the rebroadcasts have been discontinued, and it's very difficult for an individual to get hold of a satellite dish in China. We understand that the Chinese government does make limited distribution of some CNN broadcasts to certain people, probably government officials, but Peter Vesey thinks that perhaps the reason CNN has limited distribution in China is more technological than political.
I mean, there is no cable in China. There are no television stations that would have the channel capacity to offer CNN at the present time. So technology, I think, at this point, more than politics, is keeping us from wide circulation. I must say, though, that during the early hours of the war, we are led to believe that CCTV, Central China Television, did carry our programming on a tape delayed basis, providing Chinese translation, and at various points even put out our signal live, creating an opportunity for a large number of people in that country to see us. It is going to take some time.
But who is the typical viewer of CNN International? I mean, really, who are they aiming at from there in Atlanta?
According to Vesey, the typical viewer has much the same demographics as the typical shortwave listener. And also like shortwave radio, CNN International has found it a bit difficult to sell advertising and make the service profitable. But Vesey is optimistic.
Through a Soviet satellite, we have been able to increase and broaden our distribution from just the European region now to include all of Middle East, Africa, and much of Asia. All of this has been very costly. It has not been a lucrative business proposition to date. we are hopeful that with this advertising opportunity and the development of technology, especially in Latin America and Pacific, that we can now look forward to paying our bills internationally.
Only one network is seen, believed, and quoted in more than 100 countries around the world.
But Jeff, even with the pirating going on, and it's certainly been going on for a long time, doesn't it seem strange that CNN started scrambling its signal to Latin America right in the middle of the Gulf War, when the network probably had its highest worldwide viewership ever?
Indeed, but Peter Vesey told us the pirating problem was not the only reason why scrambling began at this time, and he emphasized that the Gulf War had nothing to do with the timing.
Timing on scrambling really was pegged more to the premiere of TNT's South American service. That, as you may know, is an entertainment service featuring movies, other light entertainment programming, as well as documentaries.
TNT Latin America, which, of course, is another enterprise of Turner Broadcasting, just like CNN, goes out on the same Morelos and Panamsat satellites as CNN International for the region, and it, too, is scrambled, although a different system is used. Charlotte Leonard, vice president and general manager of the new network, says only cable operators and other subscribers like hotels and hospitals will be able to decode it.
And they have a special decoder that was developed by Scientific Atlanta so that they can actually, the cable operator will turn to the channel of audio that he wants for his subscribers. It's a four-channel audio. The video is the same going everywhere, but then they have a choice of English, Spanish, and Portuguese.
That was Charlotte Leonard, vice president and general manager of the new TNT Latin America, in conversation with Jeff White. Back to radio. Next week, we'll have an update on the Indian media scene from Manoj Guha, who's taken countless train rides researching material for us. I'd also like to thank Hap Holly and Timothy Williams, who phoned with the first reactions to our single sideband tests via Bonaire at midnight 30 UTC on 15560 kHz. I should point out, though, that there have been some teething troubles with the transmitter. In fact, last night, our engineers had to take the sender off the air completely, but we're working on it. Antonio Ribeiro de Mota, who lives in Brazil, reports that he's completed a new cassette containing recordings of medium wave stations across that vast country. He's clearly been very busy by the sound of it. Here's an abridged version of how the tape starts.
ZYJ 505. Rádio Geração 2000 AM. 1580 kHz.
ZYJ 755, Rádio Santa Catarina de Florianópolis, 890 kHz. Onda média.
Informa a emissora que você ouve. Guararema, ZYJ 816, 1230, São José Grande Florianópolis, fazendo amigos através do rádio. RCE, a rede de Santa Catarina.
55, vem aí pela Rádio Bahia, Clube do Coração.
ZYH 448, 1010 kHz, Rádio Bahia, AM.
Rádio Guarujá, onda média, 1420 kHz. ZYJ 754, onda curta de 49 metros, 5980 kHz.
The 60-minute cassette tape is one of a series covering Brazilian radio. Each costs $7 or 7 international reply coupons sent airmail to anywhere in the world. Antonio's address is P.O. Box 949, São José dos Campos, SP 12201 in Brazil. To digital audio broadcasting now, Lou Josephs is on the line from Boston, USA.
NASA and the Voice of America have scheduled October for a demonstration of DAB from a satellite to a moving car. The test most likely will be held in Washington. In other NASA news, this Friday's launch of Atlantis will contain 5 astronauts who are amateur radio operators. That should provide for some interesting listening in the 2-meter band over the weekend.
Thanks, Lou, for the call.
Bye.
From the team here in Hilversum, this is Jonathan Marks wishing you a peaceful weekend. And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.